All right, now this spark of life, whatever it was, I mean, this difference between a live organism, no matter what it is, even down to the most minute size, and an inanimate object such as just a rock. So we have these two different things.
Yes.
In this universe, the live end of it, where might that have come from if it happens to be all over the place?
Well, I think that's, again, that's the real cutting edge of my theory. I believe that the origin of life, the birth of life, if you will, is pre-programmed into the inanimate laws of nature, gravity.
And give me your definition of life, first of all.
Life is a process. That's a really tough one, George.
I know.
Life is a process that is able to dynamically reproduce itself and to grow and mature.
Okay.
But the reproduction is really the key element of it.
Okay.
Kind reproduces kind. Like reproduces like.
Or much like you were saying, how the universe.
That's essentially what I'm trying. The startling conclusion I was led to, in which Seth heard me talk about some years ago in Rio de Janeiro, was that this idea conceives of the entire universe essentially as a vast emerging life.
Now, is it possible you'll get a comet that smashes into a planet that has no life, quote unquote, on it at all, and then you might get another comet, it might be loaded with life.
Indeed, and one of the possible scenarios for how life got started on Earth, or for that matter other planets, is what is called panspermia, which is that it essentially got bounced off some planet that already had it and transported by means of a meteorite or a comet to the Earth.
So my big question is how did that start? How did the very first spark of life, that reproductive definition you just gave us, how did that first start?
Well, Darwin once said that thought is too profound for the human intellect to even contemplate.
I think he's right.
Yeah. Well, I beg to differ. I think that we may be able, as we trace out the patterns of chemical interactions at their most basic level and then see how they merge together through carbon atom formation and through carbon molecules interacting, we may be able to tease out the mechanism that actually yields the first instance of life.
What if we're just an experiment of something?
Or what if we're the intended consequence of a prior developmental cycle?
Possible.
But that's another thought, that we could be somebody's some super intelligent junior high school student's chemistry experiment on a lab bench.
That went awry, probably. Seth, as you continue to search for extraterrestrial life with SETI, sometimes getting little blips in the old days, but nothing to date to report, huh?
Well, there's no confirmed detection. Fortunately, we get enough signals to keep us awake at night. And so, you know, it's always interesting to go to the telescope. In fact, we're going down to the telescope in a couple of weeks again. But no confirmed blips from the cosmos. And had we found something that was confirmed, of course, you wouldn't have to ask the question because I would have been on the show earlier.
Yeah, well, yes, you would have. Yet I think the three of us would agree that there's probably some form of intelligent life out there. Now, here's something to ponder. I mean, here we are, human beings. We're really not that old in the scheme of things. But what if there's a universe, I mean, there's a planet out there that's not 4.5 billion years old, but maybe it is 8 billion years old, in that it progressed at almost the same time period that planet Earth did, in a nice logical order. I mean, all of a sudden, assuming that it doesn't burn itself out of its minerals and things like that are used up, and then it becomes just a barren planet again, like Mars might be. What are the possibilities, James, of a civilization having 2 million years ahead of us? What could they be like?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, because, in fact, it's likely that the progress will be not simply linear but exponential. That's what the, you know, Moore's law in computer science is telling us, that it will actually go up like a hockey stick.
Right.
And if that is the case, there was a wonderful statement by a scientist some years ago that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That it would be so advanced that we would really not even be able to, it would be like ants observing a superhighway.
Or do they reach a period in their evolution where they just all die off before they can attain that magnificence, whatever a million or 2 million years ahead of us, for example, would have given them?
I think that's the practical lesson we can learn from the history of evolution on Earth. For every species that survives and leaves progeny, there are many that simply die out. So the prospect, my view that the progress of life and intelligence is robust and will triumph finally is mitigated by the realization that it may not be us, it may not be any particular planetary civilization that in fact pulls that off.
Well, do you actually think that at the rate this planet is going with mankind, that 5,000 years from now, which would give us the year 7,000, we're going to be around?
I think we will, yes.
Now,
you ask me, in a million years, I think whether, quote, we, unquote, will be around is a very open question. I think there will likely be something around, but I'm not sure it would be recognizable as human beings.